So we're in chapter number 6 tonight, and recap just a little bit. There was a petition sent to the king of Persia, who at this time, in the time of the temple being built, they had stopped about 15 years. They were not allowed to continue to build it. All they got accomplished was pretty much the altar was built, and they had opposition from them, from people around the area, different governors around there, those who collected tribute taxes, and they took it upon themselves to stop them and to accuse them, and then they sent a letter back to King Darius to find out or to challenge that they had ever had the authority by a previous King Cyrus to even go build the temple. So that's kind of where we are in chapter number 6. So verse 1 of chapter number 6. Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. So in the area here of Nineveh, in the area and connection to Babylon, when the Persian Empire took over, some of these buildings or these facilities were still are in use or in different areas here. And so the house of rolls are not yeast rolls. I don't know if y'all got your mind on that when you heard that. But these are cuneiform rolls. These are clay rolls where they'd have carvings and the language upon those. Not like a scroll in the days of Alexander the Great, because that would come many, many years later. But these are clay scrolls, rolls that they would write on. And so historically, this is accurate. I don't need history to prove my Bible accurate, but it excites me when history shows the Bible is accurate. And so in 1850, they found in the city, the ancient city of Nineveh, which is technically in the area of Iraq now, Iraq, they found in a palace, a chamber was discovered that had these types of rolls all in it. Some of them were cracked and broken, and some of it was tablets, and some of them were rolls, and many records were in there. And that's what this would have been. And they're going back. Now, our modern day, maybe you go to the filing cabinet. When you go to the filing cabinet, you're looking for some old file. Or you go to an email, even more modern, to go look for something and see where that old file or that information is on your computer. Well, this is what they're doing in this day. So legally, they make a decree to go search this because it's become a big deal, a big legal matter. So there's a petition to King Darius to do this, and the petition is accepted, and they begin to go give the authority and make all the plans and put all the people in play to go to the house of the rolls and look for this document, this decree carved on this roll somewhere in the pile of stuff that was 15 years before when King Cyrus was in power. And they got to go dig through all of that. And I'm sure they probably never thought that this one would have ever been one of those that you had to go pull out again. Now, the school here at East Georgia Road used to be open. I think it closed in 03. I'm not sure if exactly it was 03, but I know it was closed a few years before I got here in 06. But every year, almost every year, when people are and going back to college and after they graduated here, way long time ago, all these middle-agers are coming around wanting to go back to school, go back to college when they probably started and stopped or whatever. And I get that, been there, done that. And so we have to go downstairs to filing cabinets. This is 2023. We had to go back to the 90s looking for their transcripts from the 90s and 2000 era. And just to be honest with you, some of the records weren't kept up too good in the house of the rolls around here. And it's hard to find some of the stuff. Tonda and Donnie's been involved in that and helped us many times. And so I got to thinking, put myself, I would probably not want to do this job. I want you to go down there and look for this document by the two kings previous. I mean, go all the way back to this document where King Cyrus told this other nationality of people to go build their little temple to sacrifice to their little god. And we need the document because we got legal problems over there in Jerusalem. And so just want you to put yourself in the story here. So in verse number 2, proof of the decree of King Cyrus is found. Verse 2, there was found in Achmetha in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll. There it is. Now I'm going to tell you, I know maybe you don't think, God is in control. If you realize that this could have been a, we just can't find it. Have y'all ever lived that way? I can't find the record of it. I went on a trip one time, had a reservation to a hotel in Florida. When I got there, they didn't have my reservations. I was not happy. And it's very frustrating to have been lost, not have an account of my transaction. And God allowed them to find a role. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but towards the end of the message of the whole chapter here, I just want you to understand the providence of God is real. He is the sovereign God. He has a provident hand in our affairs of our life. He cares about us. And listen, when they got started building the temple, and then they got stopped where they couldn't build it anymore, and then they got distracted and began to build their own houses and begin to focus on their own lives, and then God called Haggai and Zechariah to stir them back to building again, God was never in and out, in and out, in and out. He was always the same God right there. And remember that little phrase last week, his eyes were upon them. God is watching them. And so they go look for this roll and they found it. Brother Carl, we should shout when we find those little things like that in our lives. We should praise the Lord over that. I'm so glad you found that. They found a roll and therein was a record thus written. Would you like to know what was written on it? Well, it's here in chapter number 6, verse 3. It just kind of reflects back to what we already covered, but yet there's a few other little revelations in there, and it gives us the purpose that was determined, and then we'll look at provisions dedicated in here from verse 3 through 5, and then precise directions are laid out here that were not shown in the previous chapters that we looked at about how the temple was to be built. So let's look at verse 3. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king that made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, let the house be builded. There it is. And then he says, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. The height thereof, can you see it coming together, how precise this is? It's giving measurements. The height thereof, 60 cubits. That's 60 feet. And the breadth thereof, 60 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. Now, I don't know if you just caught that. That's a biggie to me. That means there are provisions that would be dedicated, and the king and the decree on this roll that was stored away that is coming to be challenged now gives information that the king says he would pay for it. That there would be expenses be given out of the king's house, or he would aid in helping for it. That's a pretty big one to me. Can you imagine these guys trying to shut this all down? It won't be long they're going to get this information that not only did he approve it being built, but he helped finance it. That's one of those in-your-face kind of moments. I know that's fleshly, but every once in a while, I just like to see God do that. So, see, there you go. Just rub their nose in it just a little bit. Amen. But the king would provide the expenses out of his house. Now, to me, that means the king is personally connected to this in a way that's almost really odd. It's really interesting to me. And that'll prove even later on, we'll look at even more, because even King Darius gets really personally connected to this. That's God moving and giving favor. That's God moving in people's hearts and lives. And even those that are not believers, as far as like saying, oh, Jehovah God is my only one God. Oh, they didn't look at it that way. But they really believed that Jehovah was a real God. And of course, if you remember the time of the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar connects to that and the king of Babylon. And I believe Nebuchadnezzar became a believer through his interactions and watching God work. And of course, King Cyrus and Darius are connected in the book of Daniel as well. So I love to see the puzzle pieces of the Word of God coming together. So in verse number 4, it says, with 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. And these precise directions go on as he mentioned about provisions are dedicated there. Verse 5, and also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem. This is a bit of information that you just couldn't fabricate. You cannot forge this on your little cuneiform tablet. Because this is information about Nebuchadnezzar many years before, a whole empire before Persia. He took all these vessels and brought them back to the vessels in his house, dedicated them to his God. And then if you'll remember, Cyrus had given word, take all those things with you and take them back to Jerusalem and put them in the new temple that you're going to build. And that's amazing to me that that would be remembered and it would be restored as the scripture says. So these vessels were to be brought back out of Babylon or back out of Persia, back to Jerusalem. In verse 5, they're to be restored and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, everyone to his place, and place them in the house of God. Well, that's precise directions. And so this decree is now proving to be what Brother Jeremy might have burdened them thinking, Zerubbabel and the temple being built, this is stopping us. This is a hindrance. This is blocking our accomplishment. And it's a burden to our, it's going to prove to be a blessing to have all these things brought to the surface again that many times even we ourselves forget how amazingly God had provided and took care of us and all the things he put into detail, and we go live our lives and live in our labor and do our work, and years click by, and boy, something like this pops up again to remind us of the sovereignty of God, the providence of God, the details laid out here, that every one of those vessels will be brought back. Now, when it comes to this decree that Darius is going to put out is going to support the decree that Cyrus had originally made. They're not going to conflict with each other. And that's going to be a blessing. Listen, this thing's going on at Tabernacle. God can fix that and handle that just like he handled this. He can take the Cyrus, the Nebuchadnezzars, the Cyruses, the Artaxerxes, the Dariuses. He can take all these people, these leaders. Now, I get in the flesh sometimes, and I want like that fire marshal over there. He may hear this, I don't know. But, you know, I'm at the place where like, buddy, I'm about to pray you out of a job if I could. I'm about to relocate you to another state if I could. Amen. And if a promotion's what gets him out of the way, well, praise the Lord, go promote him somewhere, amen. But I also know God can just take people's lives. Now, I'm not threatening anybody. I'm just telling you, we need to have a fear of an almighty, sovereign God of providence and power. Yeah, and here in this scripture, we find this group, verse 6 talks about Tatnai the governor. Well, he's stuck his nose into something, and he's trying to stop the house of God. God's way ahead of him, amen. And God is not resting, and he's not falling asleep. And he's proving that he has precisely put all these things together. So in verse number 6, now therefore Tatnai, governor beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai, and your companions. So you see this. You see what we're reading in verse 6? This is Darius now addressing them and their petition to go dig this roll up, find the record on it, and now it's being read that Cyrus said yes, and the expenses comes out of the king's house. Now, that could be interpreted, well, that king's gone, but it also could be interpreted any king currently reigning. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the last one, the latter one, right? Any current king, that needs to be the one that helps provide for this. So when Darius reads that, it's his opportunity to say, I'm engaged, I'm involved, I'm interested, I support this decree, I support the spirit of this leader and King Cyrus and what they were doing. So he's addressing this governor. It says, now therefore, Tatnai, governor beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai, and your companions, the Aphrasites, which are beyond the river, be ye far from thence. Now, it almost sounds like get. Be ye far from thence. You need to stay out of the way. That'd be a good prayer to pray for that fire marshal. Amen? Lord, help him to understand. He just better take his hands off of Tabernacle Baptist Church and that children's home and just stay out of the way. Now, I'm not threatening, but I can read the scripture with them. Nobody, no, they don't die here. They get themselves in quite a mess. And I want to be on the right side, amen? I want to be on God's side. I'm glad God's on my side, but we much better be focusing on being on God's side. Now, he tells them to be ye far from thence. And then he says, let the work of this house of God alone. So you need to stay out of the way and let them alone. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? Now they were thinking they were going to go down there and they were going to prove that these people were building with not, I never knew this was going to be such a prevalent message right now. They're not up to code, Brother Donnie. They thought they were going to catch them not up to code, that they didn't have legal authorization to build, to do these things. Then they come to find out God had already authorized it. It was already, the expenses were going to come out of the king's house. So it supports the first decree. It states new directives for the temple that they probably hadn't even remembered or forgotten about. And especially the governor here, Tatnai. And in strong words from King Darius to stay out of the way and let them alone. And then we'll fast forward just a bit. We'll get back up. But in verse 11 through 12, there is severe punishment that is mentioned here. In verse number 11, look with me. Darius says this, also I have made a decree. Amen. Do you sense that a little bit? You're interested in decrees and everybody's got authorization. Well, I got a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon. That reminds me a lot of Haman in the book of Esther. He said, now, if you mess with this word of decree that I'm giving, we're going to take the timbers from your house and build a gallows and hang you on it. I like King Darius. He's one of my favorite Persian kings. Pretty good, amen? I like it. I would love to have been a Jerusalem fly on the wall in there. Took the trek back, amen? Also, he says, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. So they would take the house, level it, destroy it, and start piling manure and refuge and stuff and turn it into a dunghill. And it would be a constant reminder, well, that's where Tatnai, the governor, lived. He messed around with that decree, and they hung him on his own 2x4s. Amen. I'm just applying this to us modern day, or 2x6s, if that's what you would like. And then it says, and the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of God which is at Jerusalem. Whew, man, he's a little worked up. And he sure is laying out some severe punishment and curse upon them. I, Darius, have made a decree. Let it be done with speed. Interesting. I like that. So, within these verses, we have seen that God is to provide the daily needs and take care of things in the past that they didn't even quite comprehend and understand. And now in the present time, he's going to give a directive in this decree to this governor to help provide as well. Look at verse 13. Then Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, Shethar-Boznai and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so they did speedily. I mean, they got with it. Now, what did they get with doing? Well, let's back up to verse number 8. Moreover, this is Darius still talking. Moreover, I make a decree that what ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river. Now, understand what this means. Remember, they were letting everybody know that they collected tribute over there. Y'all remember that? Y'all, some of y'all been here. They were bragging about it. I work for the king. We collect tribute over here beyond the river. Well, now he's being told, this tribute you're collecting beyond the river, you got to use that money to help build the temple that you tried to stop. What a mighty God we serve. This is amazing. This excites me. Did you ever think there'd be such meat in the Word of God in the book of Ezra that could inspire you and remind you that God is on the throne? Can you imagine standing back, what's going on? I can't help but laugh. They got to take that tax that he just collected from around here, and they got to help us build a temple with it. That'll make you shout. See, if anybody turns any tax money back over and helps us work on the church here, boy, we can say, we got Bible. This is not unusual. God can do anything. Verse 8 and 9, to take that tribute beyond the river. Verse 8, last part. Forthwith expenses be given unto these men that they be not hindered. Now, I see this in two points. Possible. Part of it is provisions are provided by the enemies to help them get the work done. But also in the hindrance, we also know that the last time they were building, they were made by force to stop building the temple under the decree of Artaxerxes. So now, Darius says their expenses will be given that they be not hindered. Now, I don't know what, I got a big imagination. I'm just saying maybe some security guards were hired here. Some protection was provided with this money. Can you imagine the very people who are trying to stop this whole work now had to go hire security guards to make sure nobody stopped doing this work? I don't know if I want to hang around the work site very much. I said, where are you? I'm just going back where I'm just going back home. I don't even want to see this. This is awful. But anyhow, verse 9, and that which they have need of. Did you catch that? That which they have need of. Both young bullocks and rams and lambs for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven. Wheat, salt, wine and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail. Wow. So, this governor and his companions, they have to submit to the decree. They have to swiftly respond to this decree. It's not the results they wanted at all, I promise you that. They got to take this tribute money and these taxes, and they got to put that and invest that back into this work. And you just see that little phrase that jumped out at me, especially day by day. You've heard that little song? Day by day, daily bread, daily provisions. God's taking care of them day by day by day by day. David put it like this: there's a table in the presence of their enemies. God's been doing that a long time. And God can still do that today. He certainly can. Take some of these inspiring scriptures tonight. Pray for Tabernacle. The heart of the king is in the hand of Almighty God. God can sway that fire marshal. Amen. God can change that. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why. I know that obviously the devil likes to fight. He likes to stop the work of God. That's basically what's going on. I don't know why the man one year said you look good and the next year it doesn't look good. I don't. You know, that brings out the Perry Mason. I know that's a pretty old reference. That's really old. Matlock's even old too, isn't it? Watch it now. It brings out the desire to me to become a lawyer and be able to go, is there a decree that said that the code has changed from 2022 to 23? If it has, okay, we need to comply. You should have let us know. Did we ignore a letter? That's what I like to fix stuff like that. I want to know. But God doesn't always allow that. But he always helps us find that roll, that scroll, that clay roll tablet thing. He helps us find the record. And he puts it all together in his way, in his will, in his word, in his timing. And that's what he's doing here in this story, day by day. Then look at verse 10. Here, the personal desire of King Darius is revealed. Because notice this. This is Darius telling them what he wants done, connecting to the desire of what Cyrus wanted to do, which was he was moved, remember, by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. This is Darius's personal desire, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. That's pretty intimate to me. That's pretty, very personal. So I want you to go back and this temple be built. And I want them to offer their sacrifices to their God. And I want them to pray for this king and for his sons. Man, that's powerful. That gives me Holy Ghost goosebumps. Well, that's exciting to me. Can you imagine being able to dedicate that one and say, Lord, God, please bless Darius and help him and thank you for everything he has done and how you used him. And God, protect his sons. I don't know if you understand this whole culture of the Persian Empire. They were killing each other left and right. You didn't necessarily want to be king. Somebody's coming and getting ready to stab you. It's always, and even in the culture of the Jewish kings, there's a lot of being abdicated from the throne without your permission. There's been a lot of suicide. I'm not a suicide, but assassinations. And he says, go pray to the God of heaven. And pray for the life of the king and of his sons. What a beautiful thing. You can see personal desire of King Darius in this scripture. Verse 14 and 15. As I've tried to say before, recap a little bit, the providence of God is revealed over and over again. The Bible says in verse 14, as of course they went to do all this speedily, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And I like that order of who's first. Whose commandment was first? It was God's. God's Spirit moved Cyrus to do this and put him involved to help promote it and supply it, bring provisions for it. So the providence of God is shown here and how he allowed them to finish this. And he lists these prophets even amongst this. And remember, they were commanded to stop building, and they did. And Sister Virginia, then they went to building their own houses, kind of preoccupied. It's okay. Even Haggai said, you building these sealed ceilings, getting all these ornamented ceilings and all that. They're just focusing on their little world and no longer on the temple. So God moved Haggai, said, go preach to them and tell them they need to start building this temple again. And as soon as Haggai preached and Zechariah preached, and remember we did this last week, Zechariah is telling them some prophetic messianic song that there's going to be one riding on the ass of a colt. We know who that is. That would be Jesus. He would come into the area around the Jerusalem of Zerubbabel's temple. He would be that Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. And God used these prophets to get God's work done, get this temple work back on track. And the Bible says, I can find this where I'm, verse 15, and this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which is in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. Now what this tells us is it's about 5 years took place since they had to stop to when they finished it. It also tells us in the Hebrew calendar that this was the last month of the year. God, this is amazing how God puts all this together. Because it was finished exactly the way God wanted it, when he wanted it. And the Bible tells us in verse 16, the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. There was praising and dedication taking place as they're sacrificing and they're praising the Lord and they're just finding such joy. And I find joy just preaching it and excited to think about what God did helps me think what God could do, applying this to my life or your life or our needs or Tabernacle's children's home need or whatever the need might be, and just praise Him and just dedicate the things of our life to Him. And the Bible says in verse number 17, and offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks. Now, I know this is not the same temple as Solomon's, and it's nowhere near the same amount of animals sacrificed, but as far as it goes, this is a pretty grand sacrifice. It ain't as big, and it ain't as much going on, but I believe the Lord's helping us go down from Solomon's day, Zerubbabel's day, to the Lamb of God that would finally come to take away the sin of the world. But they offer these bullocks and 200 rams and 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. Every tribe's got a goat offered in honor and memory and need of them. Then in verse 18, this priestly order of offering the sacrifices of these two verses, 17 and 18, they set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their courses for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. Going all the way back to the Pentateuch, the first five books, the book of Moses, especially in the connection to the book of Numbers and the book of Leviticus. And then in verse 19, the Passover is kept. Now that's a big deal. Remember, the Passover lamb is offered when they were delivered out of Egypt. And remember when they first came to rebuild the altar, which I said was the foundation of the foundation, they began to practice these certain things, these certain holy days and holidays, and the Yom Kippur and all those. We talked about that several weeks ago. Well, here the Passover is going to be kept. And the Bible says this in verse 19, the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month, exactly when it was told to be done. And guess what? Remember, they finished on the last month of the year. And now the first month of the year, what are we in now? December, January, can y'all grab a hold of that? That's the last month of the year. First month of the year is January. Y'all with me? So the first month is when they practiced the Passover. That's incredible. God's timing is incredible. Do you think He did it on purpose? All this time and delay. I've got to find this old roll down here in this room. God says, I got a purpose for this. You're going to build it when I want you to build it on the last month of the year. And you're going to be able to dedicate right on time the Passover the first month of that next year. That might not be exciting to you, but it'd be like us trying to say, well, we got it. We got all the decorations up, but it's February or March. Just doesn't feel like Christmas. Because we'll have to wait till next time. They didn't have to wait. It was exactly right on time. Can you imagine somebody go, do you realize what the date is? The 14th's coming around the corner. It's just a few weeks away. We get to offer the Passover. We get to worship and sacrifice under our God, who has allowed us to rebuild a temple that the enemies had destroyed, and God uses the same enemies to rebuild. That's an amazing God, church. Verse 20, for the priests and the Levites were purified together. All of them were pure, killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity. It's kind of become their nickname, the children of the captivity. And the scripture says, for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. This debunks Catholic doctrine of the priesthood, that the priest intercedes for you. They had to offer sacrifice for their own selves as priests. Amen? That blood atonement was for them as well. And it says, for their brethren, their priests, and for themselves, and the children of Israel, which were come out again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat. They ate of that roasted Passover lamb, that Paschal lamb. They ate of that in the ceremony of the Passover. And in verse 22, and kept the feast of the unleavened bread 7 days with joy. Almost as joyful as you guys are right now. I just I tell you, I hope they play movies in heaven. It'll be much better than the movies we see here, obviously, in all categories of ways. But wouldn't you like to see this? I'm going to replay this part of the book of Ezra. Now, you and I might be the only people in heaven that get excited because we're studying the book of Ezra. We go, ooh, I can't wait to see this. Somebody go, you bunch of weirdos. Where did y'all even hear about that? It said in the Bible. But my pastor waited 100 years before he ever preached on it. I'm so glad God moved us to do this. It's excited me about his word. He's put the puzzle pieces together. And it just comes alive. Can you imagine seeing the joy that they had in those 7 days when they might have got caught up in the ritualism of religion and worship, and then all of a sudden they didn't have a home, they didn't have a temple, and they had to realize they had to turn toward Jerusalem to pray. It had to be real in their heart because that building wasn't there anymore. And God allowed them that building again, and there was a reviving spirit of this second Exodus, so to speak, as they came to Jerusalem. And there was joy. And here's the reason: for the Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them. This phrase, king of Assyria, is going back to the whole area of this Western Asia area. It was so old, connected to Babylon before that Nebuchadnezzar and this whole territory. And whoever was coming and going and reigning, many times they just referred to them as the king of Assyria. Now historically, I want you to understand something. In chapter 4, verse 8 of this book, Ezra started writing it in the Chaldean language of Nebuchadnezzar, of the Assyrian Empire. And then he stopped writing it in that Chaldean language when he got to the part of verse 19 when they were going to practice the Passover. He put it back in the Hebrew language. Man, I don't think that was an accident. I believe when he said all this legal Chaldean, all this Persian legal stuff finally got done and we were able to go back to worshiping Jehovah God and practice that Passover, he changed gears and began to pen it down again in the Hebrew language. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. It's amazing to see what God had done. All those letters written, all that dialogue going back and forth to stop the work. And now here they're offering the Passover lamb in that temple. And the people had joy. The Lord had made them joyful. He had turned the heart of the king. Well, hold on to that, church. There's a lot of prayer requests made tonight. Maybe you could petition your Lord and say, Lord, if you could turn the heart of the king, you sure could turn this around for me. Take that to prayer. Believe it by faith. I believe when we call God's attention according to his word, that's when the machinery of heaven cranks up. But we do. Brother Jerry, he taught us a lesson just in that while ago. We want to fix it ourselves. Listen, if I would have been in this story, I would have been the lawyer trying to figure everything out. Hey, I've been investigating. And the Lord would have said, would you just sit down? I've got a plan. There's a day we got to do the Passover, and it's going to have to slow down and break down and fall over and fall apart. And I'm going to have to send the preaching back. And I'm going to have to send revival. And I'm going to do all these things just so you could take that Passover on the 14th day of that month, just like they did in the book of Exodus. What that does, church, that brings God glory. Man's fingerprints and all his control is off the wheels. And it shows God is steering this ship. Amen. And the scripture goes on to say, as he turned the heart of the king unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God. Oh my. You could pray over these verses. Lord, strengthen my hands. Lord, turn the king's heart. Lord, bring joy to me again. And it says, in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. So we'll pick up chapter 8 next time. And I was hoping that we would get done tonight that chapter, because we've had a few weeks where we lingered in a chapter for quite a while, but we got the whole chapter in. And whether or not you have the same excitement, enthusiasm as I do about it, maybe you can go back and read it. Maybe you can go back and listen to it again. But that excites me to see what God did, his hand working. Listen, if he can do that in the affairs of the nation and all these things have to come just right together, can we not believe God can take care of our needs? I think we can. We're just going to have faith, and we're going to have to trust him, and we're going to have to be patient. And these are all things I struggle with, and probably you do too as well. But I'm glad to see God, he's still on the throne. Still on the throne. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for it. It is an inspired word. And Lord, it is a prevalent time. Lord, this was written so many years ago, and yet today it's so relevant to our lives right now. Lord, I pray for Tabernacle. Lord, for the children's home and that need, that you would put all those leaders, God, you would move them with your spirit, and you would work the work that needs to be done and help them to find the records that they need to find. And you would turn these things around, Lord, and allow that building to be remodeled and updated and all these things where they could just rejoice to the glory of God that you took care of all those needs. And as the devil has to stand there and watch the people of God rejoice around what God has done, strengthening their hearts and bring them joy, that you would get all glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray.